to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What's up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode number 58 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Oh, you guys know I'm ecstatic from this weekend. What a win on Sunday by my boy, Mr. Kevin Harvick. We're going to get into that in a little bit, though. I hope everyone had a great weekend full of racing. You know, I got to be honest with you guys. I thoroughly enjoyed the double feature on Saturday. Seems like most of you guys did, too. I posed the question on Twitter. Seems like you guys did enjoy the fact that we had two races on Saturday. A little late afternoon on Saturday with a night race with the trucks Saturday night. Always good to see the trucks under the lights. And I got to be honest. NASCAR by Mirage was happier, too, because we're able to go out Friday night and she didn't have to worry about me asking wherever we went to put the race on or saying, no, I got to watch the race. So to be honest, from a significant other perspective, having the double feature works out very well for me, and I'm sure a lot of you as well. So I'm all for the double features when we've got all three series going at one weekend. So hopefully this trend continues. That said, week two at Atlanta is in the rearview mirror, and we are on to Sin City, Las Vegas this weekend. I have a very cool and funny Las Vegas story, but I am going to save that for the open next week when we talk about Vegas. So I'm going to tease that. Haven't given a personal story in a while, and this one's sure to make you guys laugh. I hope everyone got to check out PETM stuff over the weekend. Those guys got some access over at AMS. We're able to get back into the garage and cover the race a little bit more in depth and bring you guys some footage. And hopefully you guys got to check out their stuff on Twitter. They did some cool periscopes and all that. If you haven't, go scroll back through their timeline and check some of that stuff out. It was really cool. And their show's Thursday. Can't wait for that and to hear their story from going to the track this past weekend. I got another huge show lined up for you guys today. Obviously going to talk the races from this weekend at Atlanta. I did a bonus giveaway before the show. I'll go over and give a shout out to the winner of that as well. Talk about the new contest, the official one that I've been talking about for a while. Aaron will be on here in a little bit to talk about the weather that we can expect this weekend, as well as kind of talk about what happened on Sunday. Was it going to rain? Was it not going to rain? And he'll go into that a little bit. The Wave Around Hotline is going to crank back up here in a little bit. And I have an awesome interview that I actually did on Sunday with Captain Ron, hauler driver for Go Fast Racing, which is pretty cool. That said, thank you again to everyone that helped spread word, that's retweeted. The bonus retweet got over 200 retweets, got over 100 new followers in the last couple days, which is incredible. You guys are remarkable. Thank you so much for listening. The emails, the tweets, it means the world. And with that said, let's talk some racing. All right. Saturday night, the truck race, the feature of the two races on Saturday evening. Noah Gregson wins stage one. Kyle Busch wins stage two. And Brett Moffitt, the winner of the truck race Saturday night. What a final restart with the truck regulars. Brett restarted third. Took Sauter and Snyder three wide on that restart and jumped out to the lead and was able to pull away for a second win in the truck series. Very cool, really cool restart there to end that race. You know, I think Brett's a young guy. I think he's 24, 25, something like that. Ran almost a full cup season in 2015, driving for Michael Waltrip Racing and Bob Jenkins. Only ran six races in 2016, so did not get a lot of seat time in 16. But he did get his first win at MIS under Red Horse. I remember that race. I was there watching that in the stands. In 2017, he only ran a few truck races and a handful of cup races. So not a lot of seat time last year either. And is now hooked up with Hattori Racing and replaced Ryan Truex. And very cool that he was able to get the first win for Hattori Racing, which was very cool. Tough, tough break for Kyle Busch on that last pit stop. That was crazy to see the wheel fall off as they were getting back on the track. That is definitely not something you see too often. I wonder, you know, how much of that had to do with the new mandatory pit guns issued by NASCAR. Saw a lot of issues, especially on Sunday with these. You know, I'm sure the crowd cheered in the stands. I bet PETM could probably attest to that. I know social media lit up when that happened, and I get that. You know, part of that's due to the fact he's a cup guy driving in the truck race, won a lot of truck races and Xfinity races, and a larger part of that might be due to people not liking Kyle's character and how he handles certain situations. But you still hate to see something like that. I'm going to talk about the pit road incidences and the pit guns here in a little bit when I get to the cup race. But that's definitely something that is going to be crucial to watch over the next couple weeks to be able to see whether or not is this a team thing getting adjusted, or is this an issue that NASCAR needs to address with the guns. But anyways, restarting on the last restart there in the lead, Matt Snyder, who inherited the lead when the Kyle Busch incident happened, ended up dropping back, brought it home seventh, which for a rookie in the second race of the season, you got to give him some props for that, keeping it clean and working to get to the front as he was outside the top 10 in both the first and second stage. So very cool to see Matt Snyder out there contending and still able to bring it home with a pretty decent finish. Some solid finishes by the lap traffic alum. Ben Rhodes finished fourth. Matt Crafton finished third. You know, personally, and it's not that this is any shocking revelation or anything like that, Matt and Johnny up front the entire race. These are going to be the two guys, if any of these young guys want to go out there and win this championship, that you're going to have to beat. Sauter, Crafton, they're going to be up in the top five, top 10 on a weekly basis. So these young guys are definitely going to have to go out there, compete for wins when they have the opportunity to, just like Brett did and Snyder was looking like, when you've got some of these cup guys out there and capitalize on mistakes like what happened to Kyle Busch and go out there and get these wins to get these playoff points and to get into the playoffs towards the end of the season. How about Thor Motorsports? You know, they had a late season, off-season manufacturer change. All of their teams in the top 10. Very cool. Let's re-hit the standings here real quick. Johnny Sauter's in first. Matt Crafton in second. Grant's in third. Noah's in fourth. Brett's in fifth. Ben in sixth. Those guys I expect to see there throughout the whole entire season, to be honest with you. Next week, as I said in the open, we're heading to Las Vegas. Trucks, Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Then they're off for 2 weeks till they run at Martinsville, and then the trucks are off for 5 weeks. So you guys better get your truck fix in this weekend at Vegas, and then a couple weeks in Martinsville. Martinsville truck race is always a ton of fun to watch. Not too many trucks come home clean after that one. So make sure you get your truck fix in over the next couple of weeks. All right, over to the Xfinity race. It was the Kevin Harvick Show Part 1. Kevin obviously swept the race, stole the show. You know, it's only week two of racing, and there's already a ton of buzz going around on social media about Cup drivers racing in the Xfinity Series and the Trek Series. Talked about that a lot last season. I'm going to make a solid effort not to make that the highlight each week when I talk about the Xfinity races. We know what happens. We know why it happens. NASCAR's made some efforts to limit the extent to which it happens. And I don't want to take anything away from those Xfinity and truck regulars racing each week. I want to try to highlight them as much as possible. You guys know I love Kevin Harvick. Saturday, I didn't even tweet about the win. He needed a win on Sunday, which he did, which I'll obviously talk about here in a few minutes. Harvick and Logano finished 1-2, and they should have, just like if Kyle didn't have any issues on the pit stop on Saturday night. He would have won the truck race. For me, the big takeaways from the Xfinity race, rookie Christopher Bell finishing third, rebounding from his 39th place finish from Daytona. That's got to be a huge momentum builder for that team, bouncing back so strong after the wreck fest from last week. Tough break for Cole Custer. He finished 39th this week and did not help me in the fantasy standings, that's for sure. Same can be said for John Hunter. A bad finish in the truck series last week at Daytona. Comes out with a fourth place finish in his first career start in the Xfinity series. That's huge. Those are my two real big takeaways from the Xfinity race. If I were to have an asterisk takeaway, it would be a tough break for Tyler Reddick. You heard him here last week talk about his win at Daytona and, you know, finished a couple laps down in 19th. Definitely not the finish that team was looking forward to after a win at Daytona, but at least they have the win from Daytona. I expect that team to bounce back without question, obviously. You know, when I talk about the truck race and I said, you know, we've got Sauter and Crafton are going to be the two guys that the young guns are going to have to fight for wins and championships. When we're looking at the Xfinity series, obviously, Elliott Sadler is going to be the guy that everyone has to compete for and win against on the track. You know, he didn't have a win at all last year, made it to the final four at Homestead, almost won the Xfinity Championship without winning a race at all. Had some issues at Homestead, though. He's currently our leader for the Xfinity Series, sitting in first place. Elliott's going to be the guy going out there and getting top fives when all of the Cup regulars are out there running the Xfinity races. So if you're going to want to win this Xfinity Championship, you better be finishing ahead of Elliott Sadler, especially when the Cup guys are out there. Like I said, Elliott's in first. Tyler Reddick is in second, so that 19th place finish didn't hurt him too bad in the standings. Ryan Reed in third. Ryan Truex in fourth. Spencer Gallagher fifth. Christopher Bell in sixth. Justin Allgaier in seventh. Ross Chastain in eighth. Kaz Grala in ninth. And Brendan Jones in tenth. Three rookies off to a strong start and are in the top 10 in the standings. Tyler Reddick, Chris Bell, Kaz Grala. It's early. I get it. It's only week two. But to be up there this early, it's better to be up there than to try to have to rebound and climb back up there. Xfinity Series, Vegas, Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. It's the last time for a few weeks here that we get all three series running on the weekend. So looking forward to that for sure. All right. Before I talk about the Cup race on Sunday, I want to drop in here. It was somewhat of an impromptu interview that I was able to do Sunday late morning. I was on Twitter, I don't know, maybe it was Thursday, Friday night, and Go Fast Racing and Keen Parts was tweeting that they're Hauler driver's got a Twitter account being ran by a guy named Brandon, and I joked, oh, well, he's got to be a good guy since I've obviously named Brandon too, and actually got to talking through DM with the guy running Captain Ron's account and was able to set up an interview, and he messaged me Sunday morning and said, hey, it's raining. They're kind of sitting around. You got some time? You want to do an interview with them? I was like, hell yeah. So this is from Sunday. So if anything good came from the rain on Sunday, it was the fact that I got to steal an interview and get one in on Sunday to put in for the show this week. So here we go. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, kind of impromptu, because it's raining in Atlanta right now on Sunday afternoon, is the Hauler driver for Go Fast Racing, host of his own YouTube channel, Lefty Lucy, Righty Tighty, which we'll get into with that, Captain Ron. Captain Ron, how are you?
Oh, not too bad, Brian. How are you doing today?
Excellent, excellent. Thanks for taking some time. I understand it's raining in Atlanta right now, which is a bummer.
Yeah, well, the heavy rain has come through, and now it's just kind of like drizzle.
Okay. So, what's the word? Are they confident they're going to get it started this afternoon?
I don't have an official situation, but they did have the damn, pardon my French.
That's okay.
The air tightens out about 20 minutes ago. Maybe as a preliminary check, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not in that that blockchain of information there.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. All right, Captain Ron. You are our first Hauler driver on the show. Tell us a little bit about the life of a NASCAR Hauler driver. What's your weekly schedule like?
I'm home about a day and a half a week.
Okay.
Let's just right now. There is no home time.
Okay.
I got about enough time to do some laundry, get a shower and head back out. And especially I like to tell folks is about 3 days a week I own the team.
Nice.
physically. You know, I mean, I can make a decision. I can just make that thing disappear if I want. So,
Captain David Copperfield at that point.
Say again, sir?
I said Captain David Copperfield at that point.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so there's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, the best way I can put it. There's a lot of responsibility, and you know, you have to be watching out for things that can delay it and try and avoid that. And the whole idea is to get to the racetrack with more time to spare than you need, simply because if something goes wrong, you got to be able to burn that time and get stuff taken care of.
So what's so next week, you know, we start the West Coast swing. So that's got to be brutal on you mentally, physically, driving back and forth from the West Coast for basically a month.
Fortunately, we're not going to drive back and forth three times.
Okay.
You know, we'll drive out there and with the car that is destined for the first race. And depending on the logistics, a lot of guys, their Vegas backup car will actually be their Phoenix primary.
Okay.
Okay. Cross your fingers that you don't wreck during practice and qualifying, and then that way, when Vegas is over, hopefully your California primary is sitting on the ground in Vegas. And you'll just pull that Phoenix primary out, put your California primary up in the nose, and then put your Phoenix primary in the back, you know? And so there'll be a lot of smaller trucks crossing the country.
Okay.
With great cars. You see what I'm saying? We don't.
Yeah.
We try damn to stop to take the big truck all the way back.
I got you. So how'd you get into driving haulers for NASCAR? How long you been doing it? What got you into it?
Okay. First of all, I grew up in Daytona, Florida, and so NASCAR has always been, you know, I mean, when I was a child and everything, it was always in the, how can I put it? It was the soundtrack to my childhood.
Sure.
Okay. All right. I'm out there in the backyard climbing a tree, and I can hear the race cars at the speedway. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yep.
And so I graduated high school. I joined the service. I got out of the service. Got married. And then had a couple of friends die. My father died. I was at a low point in my life, and I realized I'd never pursued a dream. My entire life, it had always been work, and always distracted, and just to the point where I never pursued any dreams. And when my father passed away, I decided I needed to do something about that. And I had a friend who was racing in the ARCA series out of Daytona, and I approached him, and at that point I was a diesel mechanic and had never even touched a race car. And I approached him, and I'd known this guy since I was in first grade, hadn't talked to him in 10 or 12 years though. And I told him, I said, "Hey, dude, I want to help, even if I'm just sweeping the floor."
Sure.
And he goes, well, what do you do? And I said, "Well, I'm a truck mechanic." And he says, "Well, you're a mechanic. You're working on the race car." And I'm like, "Well, here we go. Here we go." And so initially that was a volunteer situation where, you know, I helped him as much as I could at the shop. And occasionally he would say, "Hey, can you come to the track with me?" And occasionally I'd come to the track.
Okay.
But I still had the day job, you know?
Yep.
And then finally, And he had actually moved up the cup, and here I was still doing the truck mechanic and thing in Daytona, and but he still maintained the ARCA deal, so every once in a while I'd get a phone call, and yeah, I'd go up there and help. And so we went up there for the ARCA race in Charlotte, and that car survived the race. Then this is back in the day when you could run the same car, ARCA or Cup.
Okay.
And he asked me to hang out the rest of the week and help him do the Cup race. And so I did that. And when I got home about a week later, he called me up. And instead of wanting me to meet him at a race track, he offered me a job.
Nice.
And that's how I ended up getting my foot in the door.
And what driver was that for?
And his name is Dan Pardis.
Okay.
I think he's actually a commentator now occasionally on some of the ARCA races.
Okay.
Some of the TV productions.
Yep.
And it was a pretty vertical learning curve for me. Because Dan, when it come to qualifying, Dan was checkers or records. Okay. If he wasn't in the first three rows, I was pulling the backup car out. You know, so I got a lot of experience real quick at that point.
That's funny. And how long have you been with Go Fast and the 32 team?
At least 5 years. Probably,
okay.
I think this is probably the beginning of my sixth year. I'd have to research my records, which are at the house. Like I said, I'm not that big on social media. It's not something I can just pull up on my phone.
Before that, you were with AJ Foyt, right?
Well, AJ was my first. Let me think about this now. AJ was my second NASCAR deal.
Okay.
Worked for Jay Robinson in the what was then the Busch Series for a little while, and then come to a disagreement about something, and I went home for a week or two, and then a buddy of mine called and said, "Hey, AJ Foyt's needing a co-driver to go to Michigan," and so I jumped on that train and rode it until it derailed, and then it's, you know, just that's kind of my operate a little MO there.
Gotcha.
You know.
Gotcha.
They usually have to chase me off. I honestly have not quit a job yet.
Nice. That's awesome. That's a good thing to put on the resume.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you do anything else with the team since you've got your mechanical background? Do you get involved once the car is delivered to the track, so to speak?
Yes, sir. And the same, you know, my job description is, part of it is, when everything goes right, I'm nowhere around. If everything goes wrong, it's all my fault. Okay. It's one of those jobs.
I hear you.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, during practice, I'm pretty much the right rear jack screw guy.
Okay.
Okay. When we pull the car into the garage and it's up on stands and the car chief is adjusting the four corner numbers, I'm the guy that, you know, if he needs two rounds here or two rounds there, I'm the guy that does that on the rear.
All right. Very cool.
And then I'm just, you know, if they need something that's not there, I got to go schlep it and And yeah, you know, like we come off the truck yesterday, and turns out we had a piece of equipment in the toolbox that was totally it failed right there. And I had a backup in the truck, and before anybody, you know, said, "Hey, Ron, we need this," I already knew it, and I was going to get it.
Nice.
You know, so
nice.
Yeah.
All right. So you also have your own YouTube channel and stuff, Lefty Loosey, Righty Tighty. Why don't you tell everyone a little bit about that?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's just, you know, I stumbled on YouTube, I don't know, 2010, I guess, and was just using it for entertainment value, and then at some point, I decided to start my own channel, and simply because I had some cool videos I'd shot for my own personal pleasure or whatever, and I said, well, you know, these are kind of cool, maybe I could share them. And so I started doing that. And then a couple of years ago, I found the live stream feature.
Yep.
And the thing I figured, you know, I went to the trouble of purchasing a GoPro, and only to find out that my computer was too old and too slow and too not enough memory to manipulate the GoPro. So I had to step up to another computer, only to find that, yes, this thing is capable of doing the GoPro, but God, it takes 2 hours to edit a 2-minute video.
Yep.
Okay. Well, with the live stream, you know, you turn the thing on and bang, it's up. And so I started live streaming just because it was a time saver. And then eventually, you know, we got in the interaction of the deal. And I guess what it is okay, if it wasn't for the fans, if there were no fans, I wouldn't be able to do this for a living.
Yep.
Okay. And so that's what it is for me is I mean, I can't put a camera in front of Jeff Gordon's face,
right.
You know, and
yeah.
I can't, because I'm doing other stuff. But the thing is I do have a little bit to share, and it turns out there are some people that are interested in it, and I've come to realize that, you know, a lot of my viewers. And now you got to understand, some of my videos are 8 hours long. They're 10 hours long. And there are folks that will sit there and watch the entire thing.
That's awesome.
Okay. All right. And what it is that, you know, there are folks that, how can I put it, they're homebound.
Yep.
You know, they're physically unable to get out into the world. And, or they're, you know, they may be retired and have nothing better to do, you know, and those folks like that, I think, are what are gravitating to it, you know?
Yep.
And yes, what you're going to see is 8 hours of highway going by, you know, but some people enjoy it.
Sure.
And then I've got a soundtrack that I've been playing, and what it actually is some friends of mine from down in South Georgia. They're a bluegrass band, and so they've got a couple of CDs out, and while I'm driving, I just play that CD, and I get the proverbial copyright strike, but I know the guys that made it. So
that's awesome.
I just talked to them, and everything's cool.
Nice.
So
nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Captain Ron, I'm going to make sure that at Michigan here in a couple months that I come and find you and say hi to you. I might even be able to have Matt D back on the show. He was on last year when I recorded. So the Go Fast team is no stranger to the Lap Traffic Podcast. So thanks for taking some time out. Appreciate that. Captain Ron does have a Twitter, but it's ran on the back channel by Brandon, I forget his last name. Who runs the Twitter there?
Brandon Gregg.
There you go.
Yeah, Brandon is actually my unofficial PR guy.
I love that. That's fantastic.
Okay, you know, he manipulates all that social stuff that I don't have time to do.
Absolutely.
And he does a great job, and I greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely.
If it wasn't for his efforts, me and you wouldn't be talking right now.
That's exactly right. So everyone, go give Captain Ron a follow at Captain Ron 3232. Captain Ron, thanks for taking some time out. Hope the weather clears up at Atlanta, and stay safe on the roads.
Yes, sir. One other thing on the YouTube.
Yes.
Just search LLRT32. All right, that's Lima Romeo Tango 32, and myself will come up because it's kind of hard to spell lefty loosey righty tighty.
Gotcha. Big 10-4 there, sir. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.
All right, thank you, Brandon.
Absolutely.
You have a good day, too.
Thanks, man. You too. We'll see you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
How cool was that, guys? So I got to give a little background on how that interview all came together. I think it was Friday night. I was chilling on Twitter, obviously, and I saw Teresa Keene from Corvette Parts and all that, that sponsor Matt DiBenedetto, had posted about Captain Ron has an official Twitter page and all that. And I said, maybe we should get our first hauler driver on the show. And lo and behold, chilling here Sunday morning and Brandon, who's running the Twitter account for him, sent me a DM and said, hey, can you do it in the next hour? I'm like, hell yeah, let's do it. So got everything hooked up, plugged in, and unfortunately due to some rain, but fortunately due to it, able to get a quick little interview there. So very cool talking to Captain Ron. Could only imagine some of the stories that he could share being on the road like that, bringing the cars safe to a track near us. So that was very cool. Big thanks to Captain Ron for taking some time out and coming on the Lapped Traffic Podcast. All right, let's get back into the action. The Cup race on Sunday. Kevin Harvick wins stage one. Had a bad pit stop at the first stage break with a gun issue. I'm not sure, again, if it's a gun issue or is it the crew getting used to the extra time they have to spend on the lug nuts. We'll get into that here in a couple minutes. Brad Keselowski, stage two, and your winner, Mr. Kevin Harvick. Now I can celebrate the win for the four team. It's crazy the number of laps over the last few years that he has led and not been able to come away with a victory. Pretty historic for the first two races of the 2018 season as it relates to Dale Earnhardt Sr. Last week, obviously, with Austin Dillon, who won the Daytona 500 on the 20th anniversary of Sr.'s Daytona win. And 1 week later, Kevin Harvick wins at Atlanta 17 years after his first win replacing Sr. at Atlanta. So some interesting ties the last 2 weeks to Dale Sr., which is pretty cool. You know, Harvick was just bad fast. Drove that car so well, could save tires better than anyone on the track Sunday. They talked about it on the broadcast, about the crew chiefs and spotters trying to figure out how he could get off the gas so early, get into the corners, and then get back on the gas. It really was interesting going through the scanners myself on RaceView, hearing them talk about the 14. Random side note, if you don't have the RaceView app, I highly encourage you to download it. I want to say it's like $30 for the entire season, which when you break it down from a per race perspective, isn't bad. The only unfortunate part is sometimes it cuts out and you only get to listen to the scanners for the cup races. It would be so awesome if they were to expand that so you could listen and through the scanners for the Xfinity and truck races. Hopefully that might be something they look at doing in the future. But again, it's really cool. Listen to your favorite driver. You can set it on auto scan and it'll pick it up when anyone's talking. It really enhances the racing experience on your couch. I literally almost mute the broadcast and have that on in the background while I'm live tweeting with you guys. So I digress there for a moment on that. You know, I would love to know if Rodney got a little nervous when the 11 team decided they were going to stay out, break that last 100 laps into two stops where everyone else was going to have to pit three times. But the four was just so fast, he could distance himself enough that when they had to pit and Denny was in the lead, Harvick still came out of the pit second, and it just took him a couple laps to pass Hamlin. Someone asked me on Twitter, and I apologize, I forgot to write it down who it was, but asked me if I thought Harvick was better at Atlanta or ISM. And I had to say, you know, from a win perspective, you obviously have to say ISM. But Harvick hasn't won at ISM since March 2016, where he won six of eight races there from November 2012 to March of 16. And when you look at the last 4 to 5 years at Atlanta, he should have won last year, hands down. Appears to be just as dominant at Atlanta. So I'm very curious to see how he performs at ISM here, hashtag Phoenix, in a couple weeks and see, all right, is he the Harvick of old at Phoenix, or is Atlanta really new, really his new track that everyone's going to be keeping an eye on him at? Keselowski obviously had a fast car early on mid-stage two. He was actually able to hold Harvick off for a while, but you know, they tightened the four car up a little bit, I think, and the rest was history. The woes continue for the 48 team, having issues all day, finishing four laps down. That is definitely not something we are used to saying or hearing. Struggles in general for Chevy as a whole. You know, there was some talk that maybe this new Camaro is going to take a little bit more work to get it dialed in. The top finishing Chevy was Larson in eighth and Elliott in 10th, who was the highest finishing for HMS. Bowman and Byron both finished off the lead lap. So there's definitely some work to be done by the Chevy teams in a whole. A great run for Clint Bowyer finishing third has to be a big boot of confidence for him and the 14 team. I know he wants to put a win in the win column, but nice start so far. Great run for Stuart Haas as a whole. The whole group finished inside the top 15. 13th place finish for Eric Almirola. Very curious to see if he gets to keep that up and if that becomes the new norm for the number 10 team. Martin Truex Jr. brought it home fifth after not much chatter about him all day. Had a few pit issues, but got a quiet top five. We saw a few pit issues, like I said, this weekend as a whole with the pit guns, the jacks dropping too soon. And like I said, I wonder how much of this is due to the teams still trying to get acclimated to the new gun, one less guy over the wall. And I wonder how much of this is actual mechanical issues with the new gun. I'm very curious to see the trend this weekend at Las Vegas. Do the teams get the timing sequences right with how long they've got to hit each lug nut? Do the jacks have the issue? It's going to be interesting to watch this to see whether or not this is a team issue or a NASCAR issue that they need to address with these guns. One of my themes last week was the number of caution laps. I think it ended up being something like 27% of all laps from all three races last weekend at Daytona were run under caution. This week it was down to like 10%. Obviously, I don't think anyone expected an inordinate amount of cautions this week. But I thought I would just highlight that just to show the difference there from the plate racing to your mile and a half track. Over to the standings, Chloe Yunker's favorite driver, Joey Logano, is sitting in first place. Ryan Blaney in second, Hamlin in third, Harvick up to fourth, Bowyer in fifth. Our Daytona winner, Austin Dillon's in sixth. Martin Truex Jr. is in seventh. Kurt Busch, eighth. Paul Menard, ninth. And Eric Almirola is in 10th. Next week, Sunday, 3:30 start for the Cup guys. Looking forward to that one for sure. I think it's time for a little social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you subscribe, download, and comment on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, Blueberry, Acast, wherever you get your favorite podcasts at. Don't forget to check out at Detroit Sports ENT on Twitter and their website if you're looking for some Detroit sports info. So I decided to celebrate Kevin Harvick's win on Sunday to do a bonus giveaway before the actual giveaway that I was going to do. And before the show on Periscope, I gave an awesome 8x10 autograph of Kevin Harvick to Twitter follower at T2NASCAR. So congrats for winning the autograph photo of Harvick. Now, I've been talking about doing a new contest, and a very loyal listener of the show who wishes to remain nameless has donated an autographed Kevin Harvick diecast, to which I will give away when At Lap Traffic PC hits 2,500 followers. So big thanks to the ghost listener for donating this item. I'll get a picture of that out here very soon. And big thanks to all of the new followers and some new follower shout outs over on Facebook. Stacy Wright from Irving, Texas, big 88 fan. Amanda Pugh from Indiana, cheering for the 42 and 21 team. Welcome to the show. On Twitter, Corey Gendry at Corey Gendry from Clare, Michigan. Welcome to the show. Don Ray Twitty at Don Ray from Detroit, Michigan. Couple Michiganders following the show this week, which is very cool. Mike at Pac-Man 91194, big Chase Elliott fan. Welcome to the show. Kayla Strum at K Nichols 528 from Texas and is also a co-host on the Bump and Run podcast. So big thanks for the follow. Make sure you check out their show as well. Nick at Patchhead 87 from Florida and hopes to work in NASCAR someday. Hope you get there, buddy. Thanks for the follow. Tell your friends. Check out the show. Make sure you check out the Amazon portal. Click it on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Bookmark that bad boy. Make all your Amazon purchases through there. On the store, on the website, got t-shirts, hoodies, all that good stuff. Stickers and koozies have been going out weekly, which is so cool. So make sure you tweet a picture of that with your favorite beverage. Let's see, and I'll put that on the website if you send tweet me some pictures. If you got any fan mail, The Lap Traffic Podcast, P.O. Box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan, 48072. All right, I think it's time for our weekly weather report. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, let's see what the weather's going to be like this weekend as we go to Sin City, Las Vegas. Back this weekend, of course, from raceweather.net, Aaron Studwell, who you can follow on Twitter at raceweather. Aaron, how's it going? Are you dry?
I am dry.
Excellent.
Most of NASCAR Nation is dry. Viva Las Vegas.
Oh, that's going to be real dry. I would assume. I'd be shocked if we got any precip.
Yeah, Saturday, Sunday look good. Saturday, okay. Sunday look really good, but we'll get there in a minute.
All right. Aaron, all right. So Sunday was interesting. You mentioned last week on the show that it was going to be a little iffy. There was definitely going to be some rain coming through, which there was. Can you, when I talk to drivers or whatever, I ask them to walk me through their day on the track. Walk me through your day as a meteorologist on race day with rain coming through the system. What was that day like for you, trying to keep everybody updated and surprised with all the outcome and stuff?
I woke up in the morning and it was just pretty much like we went to bed. It was a good chance of rain in the afternoon. We saw a little bit of a break, but we figured with track drying, with weepers, okay, we're going to start early. They said the day before we're going to start at 1:16 green flag, and we get the rain in the morning. That was pretty much his forecast. We dry the track and we're watching the rain. And we're watching it, and it's never moving south of I-20. I'm coordinating with Brian Newdorf at NASCAR Weatherman. He and I are friends, working together for our third season, and we're both like, okay, and we're kind of waiting for it to come through, and they had some stray showers, but it's not coming through. Okay, the race starts. We agreed that there'd be about a 1 in 4 chance, a 25% chance that they'd stage two. at the end of stage two, so an official race. And we're watching and we're looking at computer models and all the updated information. And you kind of look at this side view and you look through the atmosphere and there was dry air in the lower part of the atmosphere. And that's why there, it just wouldn't rain. Any moisture to get in would evaporate out. And I actually posted that, and it was quoted on PRN. Doug Rice follows. Doug Rice listens. I've talked to Doug before, It was quoted. Hey, we got dry air coming in, and that's why it's not. We can look at all the radars, and we see why it's not coming here. But then on social media, we have our supporters, lap traffic. We have a lot of the media people. You know, I'll throw some Bob. Jeff Gluck, Bob Pockris, Chris Knight, all these guys are great. Follow, retweet us. Jayski, longtime supporter. And then the trolls come out. Yeah, it's not raining. They don't need to hide under the bridge. The trolls come out. And you try not to let them get to them or to me. And at the end of the race, Wendy Venturini is like, sent me a note and it's like, look, you're going to have haters. Put yourself above it. You guys do good work. I'm like, okay, you know, you get support like that from other people. I lost my temper, kind of lost my cool. Some guy tweeted something and I wrote back, don't denigrate my career, my PhD work. I don't come to your place of work and knock the fries out of your hands. And put a little animated GIF with a French fries on it.
Right, yeah.
And then I found the mute feature.
Yeah.
Thank you, Twitter. You don't give me an edit key, but you give me mute. I'll take that.
Right. You know, you do your hard work and, you know, it's unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate. And we got to the end of the race. You know what? As much as anybody else, you know, some people are saying we were wrong. You know what? We said 1 in 4 chance. We were lucky. We were fortunate. Towards the end of the race, the rain was 3 miles away.
Yeah.
It rained all around there, like Talladega last year. It was raining all over the place. It just never rained at the track. I'm glad we raced.
Yeah.
I'm glad we didn't have a Monday race. I love the racing. It rained. We had to rain. We were 2 hours late because of the rain.
Right.
So don't tell me.
It was there.
We missed the forecast. It wasn't sunny in 75.
Right. Yeah. I think everyone just kind of saw as tweets were going out with radar, you know, that rain was moving and then it just wasn't. I mean, clearly the band was there to where if it would have gotten pushed, maybe it obviously would have been able to cover the track. But it.
But we were fortunate.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. No, it is a good weekend of racing, Mr. Harvick.
Oh, you know it. Oh, I was very excited about that. Very excited. All right. So we're heading to Vegas. Everybody's got a Vegas story. Do you have a Vegas story?
My Vegas story is a very neat opportunity. I had started when I started with Race Weather, and I was looking for a career in NASCAR. My undergraduate's in aerospace and I have a meteorology degree. It would have been a very unique combination. I had a good chance to talk with the crew chief and then Curtis Davis's 0 car for Johnny Davis.
Cool.
Who is still an owner.
Yeah.
I had a chance to work on his crew. I was down adjusting trim, moving tires. I was working on the car.
That's awesome.
It was before the day you needed a hard card and you just go and I just needed credentials.
Okay.
And a hot pass. Okay. And I had a chance. I'm just down there working on the car, pushing a car to pit road with the heating unit going. And I'm pushing the heating unit. They're pushing a car. And here comes Jack Roush between the heating unit and the car. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to run Jack Roush over. This is maybe 15 years ago.
Right.
I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, Mr. Roush, hold on. We're going to come through. So, oh, okay, son, thank you. He's kind of pushing everything through because he's just kind of oblivious and walking through, just going, going where he's going.
Go. Yeah, yep.
It was just a really great opportunity to work for a NASCAR team, to be down in the pits and working on the team. And it was... and I've always loved Vegas since then. It's a great, like we talked on our first show. It's my favorite track. It's a great atmosphere. It's a great mile and a half track. I just like it there. And it's just that really first neat opportunity to work for a team.
Absolutely.
To show me that I would like to, if I had that chance to go and pursue that opportunity.
Yeah, no, dude, that's an awesome story. I'm going to give my Vegas story next week when I open the show. I don't even remember. I may have done it last year, but it's that good of a Vegas story that I'll save it for next week.
It's like Alice's Restaurant on Thanksgiving. You have the annual telling of your Vegas story.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, there's a couple stories I know that I rotate throughout the year that are just classics that people love to hear. So,
well, you know, I'll tune in. Yes. You know I'll be there.
Yes. All right. So, weather-wise, what do we got for this weekend?
Hold on to your hats. It's going to be windy.
Okay.
Friday, we're looking at 25 to 30 mile an hour winds sustained.
That could be interesting, hitting the backstretch there a little bit.
Yes. Yes. It calms down a little bit on Saturday, Sunday. It's still windy, but not as windy. It's going to be cool. Normal high is 68. Highs are going to be in the mid 50s.
Oh, wow.
I've even seen low 50s. Normal low is 39, which surprised me. And the lows are going to be in the 40s. But with the wind, I mean, it's going to be cool. And then high screen in the mid 50s. So if you're going, you may not think to bring a jacket, but bring a jacket.
So that the truck race, which is 9 o'clock Eastern time, is what, about seven, I think?
Seven Mountain, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it could be a little brisk in Las Vegas for that truck race.
Yeah, and something that people don't think about, and then you're going to go back in September and it's going to be hot as heck.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So dry weather, but windy weather.
Yeah, it definitely is going to be a good weekend for racing, but yeah, it's definitely going to be windy out there.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, sir, thank you as always for our lap traffic weather report. Appreciate it.
And, great to be on. You know that. I'll be back next week.
Everyone, make sure you go follow Aaron at RaceWeather on Twitter and check out the more in-depth report throughout the week on RaceWeather.net. Aaron, thanks so much, man. I'm sure we'll talk to you this week.
Brandon, good talking to you. Thanks a lot.
Yep, no problem. We'll see you.
Bye.
Bye. All right, guys. What do you say we fire up the Wave Around hotline, get some phone calls from you guys and your picks for the Lucky Dog and Lap Down from Atlanta? The official Wave Around hotline number is 248-965-9538. So make sure you store that. And when you see the queue on Twitter, make sure you call in with your picks. Lap traffic, who's this?
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen.
Kathleen, what's up? How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Awesome. I'm so glad you called. Thank you so much for your support. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm happy to do it.
Oh, you're awesome. You are so awesome. All right. So what'd you think of the racing this weekend? I know you love the outcome on Sunday, but what'd you think of the racing?
I actually thought it was a good race because of all the potential twists and turns that were going on. There was a lot of strategy going on, which I always enjoy. So it kind of made it what's going to happen next race.
Absolutely.
Which I always like.
You had people racing strategy, potential weather. There was a lot going on which helped. I mean, Atlanta's a pretty exciting mile and a half track as it is, but all of that helped make it even more exciting. So that was a lot of fun Sunday. So, all right.
Yeah, I agree.
Who's your lucky dog of the race?
My lucky dog is Mother Nature.
NASCAR
and everybody at Atlanta Motor Speedway who worked together so well to get that race in for the fans. I can tell you firsthand what it's like to be at a race and not know what's going to happen with the weather. So I really, really appreciate all the hard work everybody did for that.
Absolutely. They definitely worked tirelessly to make sure they could get that race started, at least get it started for everyone that stuck around. And the grandstands for a race that was rain delayed as long as it was, decent crowd stuck around, which is awesome and just shows the dedication of us NASCAR fans, which is awesome.
Yep.
All right. Who are you putting a lap down?
Actually, I'm in such a good mood after the win on Sunday. I can't even put anybody a lap down. Everybody's getting a free pass from me this week.
Everyone gets a lucky dog from Kathleen. I love it. Everyone's back on the lead lap, according to Kathleen. That's awesome. I love it. Yeah. Kathleen, so thank you so much for calling. You make sure to call back, and we'll talk to you soon on Twitter, I'm sure.
I will. Take care.
All right. See ya. Traffic, who's this?
Brian calling from Ontario. Buddy, I'm not number one tonight.
You are not number one tonight. We are live right now, brother. I knew it was you. I recognized that number. I just hit record.
There you go. Just when it's 7:05, you know it's from somewhere far, far away.
North.
That's it, buddy.
How's it going?
Congrats to have you on the weekend.
Thank you.
Not so much, buddy. You had a good weekend.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, it was, you know, obviously I enjoyed Saturday, which you'll hear me talk about that on the show. But Sunday, man, that was incredible. So glad we were able to get that race in and watch that. And the end was great. What'd you think of it?
Actually, I hate to say, Professor, I haven't watched it. I was away in Montreal skiing all weekend.
Nice.
But I have it on PBR. But I know Harvick won, so that's all right. My buddy told me he was a little emotional. I kind of figured it out on my own. But
right. To be honest, all you really need to do is fast forward to 100 to go, because that's when stuff really got interesting on the track between strategy and things like that. The first couple hundred laps there, unless you just want to watch Harvick run around in P1 all night, you could probably go to lap one with 100 to go and save you a little bit of time there.
There we go. I'll probably just do that. That's some good advice. I want to see the victory lap. That's all I want to see.
Absolutely. All right. Well, so from what you've heard, who's your lucky dog?
I got to pick Harvick just for keeping it going and keeping another anniversary alive and just not letting us ever forget.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And lap down?
I haven't watched the race, but I'm just going to throw Denny in there because why not?
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm sure there's quite a few that are going to agree with you on that one. Oh, that's fantastic. Hey, brother, enjoy the race when you get to watch it, and I assume we'll talk to you next week.
You betcha, Brandon. You guys all have a good week. Thanks, Lap Trap Nation. You all listening, download this.
Oh, I love the shout-out. That's awesome. Thanks, brother.
No problem, buddy. Take care.
Yep, you too. We'll see you. Bye.
Goodbye.
Lap Traffic, who's this?
William Silky. What's up, Brandon?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Pretty good in real life. I mean, not in the fantasy league, but we still got 34 more weeks
that we do. Hey, I didn't think I'm like at the bottom barrel of the Lap Traffic standing. So fear not. There's time
right there with you.
And hey, don't forget, we reset after week 13. So that we can always rebound.
Of course.
So thanks for calling in, man. What'd you think of the racing this weekend?
You know what? I kind of enjoyed it because sometimes you just need a driver to show the rest of the field up, and I think that this is going to light a fire under a lot of teams.
You know, I can't disagree with you there. You know, all the talk about the young guns and the passing of the torch, which is awesome and I agree with, but that doesn't mean some of the veterans still can't go out there and put on a show.
For sure.
So who's your lucky dog of the race or the weekend?
My lucky dog of the weekend is going to be Ross Chastain because he actually ran all three races.
Yes, he did.
He ran pretty good in the Xfinity race, and then he subbed in a premium motorsports truck because the original driver was sick. And then for a while, he was running ahead of William Byron in the Cup race.
Yes.
So I find that pretty interesting.
He got a lot of valuable seat time at a mile and a half track this weekend.
Oh, for sure.
And who are you putting a lap down?
And my lap down is just going to be the Hendrick organization as a whole because everybody's like, oh, well, the Chevys are still, learning how to do this. But yet Newman somehow found a lot of speed. You saw a couple other Chevys being competitive, but none of them were from Hendrick. So I think Hendrick is going to have to step it up a lot if they want to be a title contender this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, man, thanks so much for the call. Thanks for the support. And make sure you call back again.
Sounds good, Brandon.
Thanks, man. We'll talk to you.
Yep.
All right. Couple awesome calls there on the Waiver On Hotline from some new ones and some new followers. Well, not new followers, but new callers. And a couple repeats, which is awesome. You guys, tell me, what time is a good time to make sure we can get the most out of the Waiver On Hotline? I've been doing it around 7 o'clock Eastern time. I could do it at maybe 7:30, 8 o'clock, depending on the interviews that come in. You guys let me know so that I can make sure to get your calls and maybe add a few more to the show. Let's get to some tweeted responses. Tim at TTrip14's Lucky Dog, Kevin Harvick for putting on a clinic. Lap down is Denny Hamlin for trying the strategy route and coming up short. John at Dean Ader's Lucky Dog, Weather for turning a day race under the lights. Lap down, the 40-18, four laps down and 27th finish speaks for itself. Patrick at Rockin' Rudy 88's Lucky Dog for performance for shutting her down. Lap down, 40-18. Mick at GoDucks42_Mick's Lucky Dog. Brett Moffitt got it done when it counted. Lap down. Kyle Busch's last stop in the truck race gave it away. Scott at 1985 Wagner's Lucky Dog is Harvick breaking the string of bad luck at Atlanta. Lap down. 48 for nothing but bad luck so far this season. Donovan at Donovan Lentz gave a lap down to NASCAR issued guns. Multiple failures cost guys position all day. Captain Redneck at Redneck_Captain's Lucky Dog. Mother Nature got the whole race in. Lap down. What is up with the 48 team? Jeff at Gray Wolfpack 5's Lucky Dog Harvick and his double win at Harvlanta. Let that melody float on the air for a minute. Lap down. Kyle's number 4 truck series pit crew, a wheel fell off the fastest truck. Epic fail. Definitely see a little trend there with the lap downs with the 48 team. My lucky dog is Kevin Harvick, of course, for his dominating performance on Sunday. My lap down is the pit stops. I'm not sure if it's the pit crew or the pit guns so early in the season, so I'm putting the pit stops in general a lap down and looking forward to seeing how those shape up over the next couple of weeks. Big thanks to Kathleen, Brian, and Westy for calling into the show. If you didn't get through this week, make sure you continue to check your tweets on Tuesday night. I'll tweet out when the line is open and after each call when it's open again. Like I said, the time might vary slightly. The phone number won't. 248-965-9538. And now, how about some fantasy recap? Just a reminder to get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. I love the Twitter interaction you guys have been doing on Twitter talking about the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. It is so cool to see. Nice pick in the truck series by William, who called in a little bit earlier. Only player that took Brett Moffitt for the truck race, so nice job there. A lot of Crafton and Sauter picks, which worked out well for everyone, too. Nice job for those that took Christopher Bell in the Xfinity series, and too bad a break for those of us who took Cole Custer and got us a whopping 1 point. So those that took Cole Custer, we got a little hole to climb out of. 17 players picked the freaky fast four to Kevin Harvick, so nice job there. Over to the standings. Tommy Witt, first place, second weekend with 288 points. Braxton Crisp is in second with 280. John Etzenwiles in third with 279. Our friend Chloe Yunker over at Yunker Motorsports is in fourth with 272. Paul Hollenbeck is in fifth with 259 points. JD Pierce is in sixth with 255. Stacy Coleman is in seventh with 254. Stacy had a little struggle last year in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League, so nice to see Stacy up there in the standings. Andrew Kansian's in eighth with 252. Jamie Rowden and Tasha Snook are tied for ninth in 251. And Aaron Lamp is in 10th with 248 points. Don't forget, if you're off to a bad start, points will reset after the 13th race, as well as we'll keep a cumulative total throughout the season. And let's see, my picks from Atlanta did not favor too well. Well, okay, I guess. Johnny Sauter in the truck race finished third. I had Cole Custer, who finished 39th. And my cup race pick, Kyle Larson, didn't do too bad. He finished 9th. That said, it's time for the picks. This week, we head to Las Vegas, where I haven't been in a really long time and need to get back to Sin City. Last year, Martin Truex Jr. started his dominance on the mile and a half tracks for 2017. Does Martin Truex Jr. return to victory lane?
Brad Keselowski struck gold here in 2016 and 2014. This past weekend's winner at Atlanta, Kevin Harvick, won at Las Vegas in 2015. Can he get back-to-back wins this weekend? Kyle Larson finished second last year. Is he able to start his tear in 2018 this weekend at Las Vegas? And what about Nevada natives, the Bush brothers? Do either of them get a hometown victory? I'm going to cycle through the picks a little bit, kind of try to spread it out a little bit. My truck pick, Ben Rhodes, who won the truck race at Las Vegas last year. My Xfinity pick is going to be Elliott Sadler. I need to start getting some points. He's one of the most consistent Xfinity regular drivers, so that's who I'm going with in Xfinity. Over to Cup, I look for Martin Truex Jr. to shine and Lady Luck to be on his side to take the checkered flag. Those are my picks for this coming week at Las Vegas. Don't forget to send your picks in and continue to tweet about the Lat Traffic Fantasy League on Twitter and make sure to tag me at Lat Traffic PC. All right, everyone, that is going to do it for episode 58 of the Lat Traffic Podcast. I had a blast as always. I hope you guys enjoy it. Make sure you check out the website, thelattrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lat Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lat Traffic PC. Subscribe, download on iTunes, Podbean. Tell your friends. Don't forget to submit your fantasy picks and keep the conversation going on Twitter. Use the hashtag LatTrafficFantasy. Big thanks to Captain Ron for calling in to give me insight on the life of a hauler driver. That was really cool. Thanks to all the listeners that called into the Wave Around hotline. I'm still working on a guest for next week, hopefully able to dial someone up. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lat Traffic Podcast. See ya!